From the WGXC newsroom, this is The Weekend in Review. Some of the stories that made the news between Friday, May 19th through Sunday, May 21st. I'm Philip Grant. Rosa Atchison is reporting in the Register-Star that Hudson Mayor Tiffany Martin Hamilton and Police Commissioner Martha Harvey signed the Welcoming and Inclusive City Executive Order on Thursday, May 18th, restricting Hudson Police cooperation with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Harvey said she expects related department policy to be issued in 60 to 90 days. The order formalizes a resolution passed by the council in March. The order, and I quote, is completely in line with what the police chief has been saying the practice is all along, that Hudson Police don't stop people on the street or pull people over and ask for proof of citizenship, end quote. Harvey said, and I quote, the order directs the Hudson Police will not stop, question, interrogate, or arrest a person based solely on their immigration status. It also requires Hudson Police to act on ICE detailer request only if a judicial warrant is presented. During the past 3 months, approximately 20 people have been detained in Columbia County, according to the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. More than a dozen people were taken in Hudson. Hamilton and Harvey signed an earlier executive order in February limiting ICE access to city resources. Rick Carlin reported at Capital Confidential that the Empire Center last week released a database identifying more than 800 so-called double dippers statewide. Double dippers are public sector employees who receive special permission to collect government paychecks for more than $30,000 a year and continue to receive a public pension. The practice has long been controversial since to get such a waiver, the hiring agency is required to go through, and I quote, extensive recruitment efforts, end quote, to demonstrate they were unable to find anyone to do the job other than the waiver recipient. Of the 849 double dippers on the Empire Center list, only one is employed in Greene or Columbia counties. Livingston resident and Hudson Police Chief Ed Moore currently receives a salary of $85,000 per year from the city while drawing down on annual pension from the Division of State Police in the amount of $94,000. According to the Empire Center database, Moore was granted limited approval for a 211 waiver for the first time in March 2013, the month he retired from the state police. Since then, he has received a total of 5 waivers, the most recent effective through October 2016, according to the center. Audrey Madoff reported in the Greenville Pioneer that efforts in Greenville to build a new firehouse stalled after a May 8th meeting ended without a consensus on location. Fire Commissioner Theodore Nugent Sr. said, and I quote, it seems the board is still split on the location on where to build the firehouse. The motion was made to put the discussion about the new firehouse on hold, and the motion was passed, end quote. Opinions differ between 15 acres the fire district owns on State Route 81 near Greenville Center and 2 locations closer to the town's commercial center, one near the town park and the other near the St. John the Baptist Church on Route 81. All 3 locations have various roadblocks, including wetlands, ledge rock, and other safety concerns. The fire commissioners have no plans to meet further on the issue. Ariel Zangela reported in the Daily Freeman, it is possible the tick population will increase this year throughout the Hudson Valley. Richard Ostfeld, a disease ecologist for the Cary Institute of Ecosystem Studies in Millbrook, said, and I quote, you should always be careful, but it could be more dangerous this year than usual, end quote. Ostfeld said the predicted increase in black-legged ticks and tick-borne disease came from work done at the Cary Institute. He said one of the best ways people can protect themselves is by using permethrin-based repellent on their clothing. He said the permethrin kills ticks that crawl on treated clothes and shoes. And because nymph ticks are found on the ground and low vegetation, it is particularly important to treat shoes and socks with the repellent, he said. The State Department of Health's website at www.health.newyork.gov/freetick provides information on protecting against ticks and tick-borne illness, as well as a video that details the proper way to remove a tick that has become attached. Amelia Teasdale reported in the Columbia paper that Kinderhook residents turned out last week for the regular meeting of the village board to hear what officials are doing about the dilapidated houses on Sunset Avenue. Village Code Enforcement Officer Glenn Smith said he issued warnings about violations at 14 Sunset Avenue, and the owners of 12 Sunset sent a letter to the board saying he was making needed repairs. Both two-story residences appear to be vacant. The property owners were given deadlines to complete the required work. If they do not bring the buildings into compliance, the village is prepared to take them to court, Smith said. The board took the action after several residents in April asked the village to take action. No further public comment was offered following Smith's presentation at the meeting last week. William J. Kimball reported in the Daily Freeman that three Ulster County BOCES students have been named the winners of the NASA competition to create meals for international space stations. Kingston High School student Lauren Hotiger and Sarah Freer, along with Wallkill High School junior Angelina Volante, won for their strawberry rhubarb crisp. NASA expects to send the dessert into space stations next year. Hotiger said, and I quote, "Our original plan was to make peach frangipane, which is like a peach cobbler, but NASA contacted us and said, no crumbs, you can't make that. So we changed it and had to make variations to our recipe to change the carbohydrates and sugars and fats," end quote. The Ulster BOCES team was one of 10 teams to make it past the regional competition to the finals held on April 20th at the Johnson Space Center in Houston. The team's recipe will be included in the astronaut cookbook for pre-flight preparation. Finally, Daniel Zuckerman reported in the Daily Mail that Tannerville Mayor Lee McGonigal submitted a letter to the state comptroller's office in response to its April audit of the village water system. McGonigal said he does not object to the audit's findings and recommendations, but he believes a passage in the report about leakage and unmeasured water in the village is inaccurate. McGonigal said, and I quote, "The system is totally tight. We are not losing water," end quote. The report was critical of Tannerville's Village Water Department, finding that staff was not required to perform periodic reconciliations of water produced to water billed, the village's water supply infrastructure had deteriorated, and the governing board had not cleared policies and procedures to ensure proper billing and collection of water rents. "The village has come with a correction plan," McGonigal said. "The new water system, now under construction, will be efficient, could last up to 60 years, and he added, and I quote, "Ever since I got into office, all I care about is water quality. The water system is constantly getting better," end quote. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting rain for today with a temperature high near 60 degrees. For Monday night, showers are likely, mainly before 11 p.m. Patchy fog after 1 a.m., otherwise it will be mostly cloudy with a low around 49. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Tuesday, it will be partly sunny with a high near 72 degrees. Tuesday night, a chance of showers, mainly after 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 52. And on Wednesday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 71 degrees. Wednesday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 55. Sunrise today was at 5:27 a.m., and the sun will set at 8:16 p.m. That will give us 14 hours and 48 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Weekend in Review for today, Monday, the 22nd day of May 2017. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.